Father, as always, as we get into the lesson today, let that light shine. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he has shined in our hearts. And he has given us understanding that the entrance of his word brings even more light and gives us understanding. So let it be even now. Let this be a room that we bring encouragement for everyone in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Hallelujah. So we are starting on this Overcome series. And day one today, through it all, overcoming adversity. So we're going to talk about adversity, how to prevent adversity in the first place, how to endure adversity if we're going through, and how to overcome, finally. Praise the Lord. What is adversity? Well, there are different things that you can put in that definition. Calamities, tragedy, distress, sorrow, sickness, disappointment, failures. I mean, you name it. You know, all kinds of, you know, situations when things are not going in the right direction. You know, but here is a kickoff scripture for us today. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. It says that this gives us understanding of why these things are so. Why do we have adversity or face adversity? Why can't we always just have a good time, you know, an easy time, you know, all the time? Why? And why do bad things happen to good people sometimes, you know? And if we are serving the Lord, we're loving on him, doing his will, I mean, everything should always be all right then. I mean, we should never have any hardship. We should never really have any difficulties. Well, but that's not the case. Difficulties do actually occur. Challenges and various things. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, that, you know, we would think that things will be, you know, just great. Scripture says exactly the opposite. Many, it says, the tribulations, the afflictions of the righteous. I mean, why should the righteous be afflicted? I mean, the righteous should be, I mean, we, you know, doing everything to be righteous and everything. But then, you know, we're still afflicted sometimes. Why is that the case? And why is it not that we just, you know, can't just sail along smoothly? Let there be no issues. You'll find that scripture in Psalm 34 and verse 19. That the afflictions of the righteous are many, not even few. But the end of this is that the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Praise the Lord. And he will keep his bones, not one of them be broken. These are the promises, great promises. But let's read Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14. And this tells the story of it all. And he says, look, in the day, you know, of prosperity, rejoice. But what do you do in other times? Well, you know, in the day of adversity, what should you do? So there is prosperity and there is adversity. So in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. What should you consider? Well, God has also set the one over against the other. In other words, he's put them side by side to the end that man should find nothing after him. He wants us to trust him through the good, through the bad, you know, and everything. But what does it mean that God has set them side by side? Well, it goes all the way back to the beginning, when God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And as I often said, the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. And he looked at the light and it was good. And he divided, you know, he even gave a name to the light. He divided it from the darkness. He called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And we're told that that was even the first day. So we see right from the very beginning, God could have said, let there be light, and let the darkness be no more. But he didn't say that second part. All he said was, let there be light. You know, and we found out that, look, you know, when you are dealing with situations, even including casting out evil spirits, you've got to do both parts. You got to say, come out of him and do not return back to him again. If you don't do the other part, they may go for a season and try to come back. You know, same thing here. You know, God knew it, but there was a reason why he left it. He knew the darkness would come back. As a matter of fact, he left it in place to come back. As a matter of fact, he gave a name to it, which means he has a purpose for it. It could have just been day all along, everything, never any darkness, but that's not the way God did it. He set the two side by side to the end that we should find nothing, and we should always look to him. There's always something to look forward to. You know, the sorrow may endure for a night, he says in Psalm 30 and 5. You know, joy is coming in the morning. So when it is dark in the night, looking forward to the day. But unfortunately, when the day actually does come, you would have hoped and thought the day would last forever, but it can't. It's a cycle. I mean, these are cycles that God put in place. The day will do its thing and fade away, so to speak. And then the night will come and do its thing, but it must also fade away. No night can last forever. Now, the night when it's there is not pleasant. But one thing we must remember is the night cannot last forever. Now, there are many reasons why things may happen. Bad things may happen to good people. And it's not always because of sin. You know, sometimes, most of the time, the human nature is to look at people who are going through stuff and think that it's because they did something wrong. You know, that's why this thing has come upon them. But we find out from the scriptures that that's not always the case. As a matter of fact, in the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 8 to 12, we see the Lord engaged in a conversation with the devil that say, have you seen my servant Job, that there is none like him upon the earth, a man that feareth God and escheweth evil, and etc. You know, and the Lord was even bragging about Job. And I mean, Job was a righteous man. He was upright and everything. And the devil, of course, you know, that smart mouth say, well, have you not set an edge around him and his house and about all that he has on every side? Have you not blessed the work of his hands and his substance has increased in the land? You know, why would he not bless you if all these good things are happening to him? But put forth your hand now and touch all he has and he will curse you to your face. So that was the challenge, you know, and Job and his reaction through his sufferings would be the trophy. But, you know, Job didn't know, you know, but there was this challenge thrown down. The devil threw it down, you know, and the Lord said, fine, we'll see about that. But you can go further and try him and do everything, but don't touch his life, you know, and you know the rest of the story. Many, in fact, the devil came back and cranked it up again, you know. But you see that in this case, people who were looking at Job, even some of his friends, said, well, you know, I mean, your hands must not have been pure. Something must have happened. There must have been some evil that you did that caused this to come upon you and so forth. But that was not the case. As a matter of fact, God testified of Job that he was righteous and there was none like him. And yet these things happened to him. So let's not be so quick, you know, when you see someone that's going through, to assume that there was some kind of thing that happened to him. Same story, similar story in John chapter 9, first two verses in the Gospel of John. You know, they saw this man that was born blind. and he was now 40 years old. And the disciples asked the question and said, you know, who was it that sinned? Was it this man or his parents? Why did this evil come upon him? I mean, why should a person be born blind? They haven't done anything. You know, they must have done something. There must have been something that his parents did that caused this evil upon their child. Or maybe it's something the child himself did. But what was the answer of Jesus? Jesus said, well, it wasn't this man, I mean, his parents that sinned, or yet this man, but that the works of God may be made manifest in him. So again, Jesus threw away completely, I mean, he dispelled this notion that, you know, when somebody is going through adversity, that it had to be because they did something wrong. He dispelled that right away. Now, I have found that that's one of the hardest statements that I've ever read in this Bible. What Jesus said in the book of John chapter 9. It's got to be one of the hardest things, as far as I'm concerned, that I've ever read. Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Are you kidding me? The works of God be made manifest in him. This man has to be blind for 40 years for the works of God to be made manifest in him. That's a hard saying. You know, now this blindness was not the works of God. But on the day that he was healed and the whole world saw it, then the works of God were made manifest in him. But this man had to go through that for 40 years to be in that place that God will put forth and make known his glory through healing him. That's a hard saying. That's a very, very hard saying. But it goes to tell us that, well, he is the potter and we are the clay. And if you are vessels of mercy, just rejoice and praise the Lord. But don't look at somebody who's going through and imagine or suppose in your hand. People are always so religious and so right, self-righteous. They always do that. Look at somebody and say, well, you know, and they'll be praying for them that, look, Father, forgive their sin because of what they've done. How do you know it was sin? You don't know that. You know, they might have been righteous. Maybe there's something going on, just like Job. You have no clue whatsoever. You know, so, you know, let's not be quick to judge when we see people going through, you know, and so forth. Maybe many reasons. Another reason may be, I mean, we've seen two reasons here already. Job was a trophy in a contest, which he knew nothing about. This man was also some kind of trophy in the day that the Lord's works will be made manifest through him. But it wasn't anything they did. But there are other reasons, you know, that the devil, you know, may bring things upon us, you know. Affliction may come through other reasons as well. It may be a satanic attack. You know, that's all. The devil's always plotting one thing or the other. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8, there's another reason where we are giving this. You know, he said, look, the devil is like a viper coiled up all the time, looking for where to strike. Now, when he sees the wall around you, which is called a hedge, he really can't do anything. But he's waiting and looking for a crack in that hedge. And when he sees a crack, boom, he will strike through there. So, you know, sometimes it could also be a crack. And this is the one that people think of most of the time. They always think there's a crack. That's why something happened. Well, yeah, there could be a crack. That may be the reason why something happened, but that's not always the case. I've settled that one. But in the case of the crack, though, what it is, you know, there is this hedge that's around you. You're walking in righteousness. There's a hedge and so forth. And then all of a sudden, maybe there's a crack, you know, and the devil has a way to get in there. It could also be, that crack could also be foolishness. We're not walking in wisdom. You're walking in wisdom, but then you leave an opening and boom. Something bad happens. You make a bad choice, you know, and a lot of people, just about almost everybody, is subject to this. you know, many of us, it's just by the grace of God. Otherwise, you're just one bad decision away from big problems. You know, sometimes the Lord will cover us, but unfortunately, some people, they make one bad mistake, one bad choice. And the next thing you know, it's, you know, this thing keeps spiraling down and it's a big problem. They end up in a, sometimes even a tragic situation, God forbid. They end up with adversity. Some people lose their homes. Some people lose their families because of some bad decision. And they made, you know, and it's a horrible thing to see that happen. Tragic thing sometimes. But it could be because a hedge was broken. There could be a crack. When we taught the wisdom series, we talked about cracks. When there are cracks in those pillars, then, you know, the foundation is not secure. There can be problems, you know, so on and so forth. So, again, in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3, it says, "The prudent man foreseeth the evil, but the simple pass on and they are punished." So it could be because they are simple. Simple here means they're not using wisdom, you know, they're just naive and so on, you know, and then they may get into trouble. So that's another reason why it can come. Right now I'm covering the causes, you know, why these things may come, you know. So again, Proverbs 27 and 12, same kind of thing. I mean, it's good for us to, you know, to read these things and know why these may come. When you know some of these things, you may be able to plug the gap, fix the cracks, you know, neither give place to the devil, we are told, right? Don't give place to the devil. Ephesians 4 and 27. If you give place to the devil, remember, 1 Peter 5 and 8, your adversary, the devil, is going on a prowl, looking for that crack whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody, but he's got to be looking. I mean, if he can devour everybody, there would be no need to look. We just devour everybody, but he can't do it. You know, there are some people that are shielded. So he looks, he tries to strike, he hits a brick wall, then he'll move on to the next person. And he's looking, and the devil, he's been doing this for thousands of years. He has gained a lot of experience on how to find cracks, you know, and he may even be the cause of it sometimes. So, well, our foolishness may be the cause of it, whatever may be the cause of it. You know, the Bible, Jesus said, look, the devil comes, John chapter 10, verse 10, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he does. And he's very good at it, you know, but the Lord is also very good at what he does, which is, well, to give us life and that even more abundantly. So we see that sometimes it could be because, you know, we were foolish. We did not look well. There's a proverb that says, you know, look well before you leap, or leap, look before you leap, and so forth. You know, sometimes people don't do that. And then, unfortunately, well, what happens? They get into a problem, you know. So, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well, you know, to thy herds. You know, sometimes if we're not looking diligently on things that pertain to us, you know, you can read that in Proverbs 27 and verse 23, then we can actually, the devil can come in and strike if you don't look carefully and protect your quote-unquote herds and your the things around you. It could be your children, it could be your family, it could be your life, it could be your investment, it could be whatever. If you're not looking carefully to protect, well, there may be a problem, you know. So A prudent man, Proverbs 27 and 12, and Proverbs 22 and 3, say the same thing. Prudent man foresee the evil, hide himself, simple person, and are punished. So these are many reasons why, you know, adversity may come. We also know sometimes, most times, actually, point blank attacks from the enemy. You know, that's the, you know, that's the most common causes of these adversities, because the Bible talks about we not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness, you know, one time the Lord explained it to me. I'm like, what in the world does that mean? You know, I knew some parts of it, but then, you know, I saw some other parts, which I didn't know at the time. You know, spiritual wickedness in high places, trying to cause havoc. You know, the devil, he can attack the weather. He can stir up hurricanes. He can stir up tornadoes and blow houses away. Spiritual wickedness in high places, you know, destroy things. You know, the devil can destroy, attack, even cities that are well planned and going on and everything is good. All of a sudden, blam, something slams through there, destroy homes and lives. You know, if you can get people off guard, destroy them before they get a chance to repent, then he can get a lot of people to hell, you know. And so he come in there, you know. I mean, people, many cities here in the U.S. rely on, you know, order, you know, even traffic order. You can't, people just trust, you trust the traffic lights will work. I mean, you just trust everything. When you're trying to go through that intersection, you're trusting the lights. Well, most of the time when people don't obey those things, tragedy can happen. You know, some drunken driver that is not paying attention to that, run through the red light, slam into something. It's a spiritual wickedness that's behind that, you know, or even sometimes the devil can take the traffic light out. That's right. I've seen that, you know, happen. In the spirit, the devil takes that traffic light out, and people who are not expecting it slam into each other. The devil takes people's brakes out, you know, or whatever. They slam into each other. And sometimes it's foolishness, but the devil can take advantage of it. It's foolishness when you get that warning sign at your brakes, you know, there's some warning sign on your dashboard that says there's a problem, check. And you don't check, then the brakes go out, or you don't check your tires, and you're driving the highway and you get a blowout. You know, there may be, you know, lack of wisdom that leads to some of these things, but then the devil will take advantage of it and aggravate it. I have seen cars piled up. It may be severe weather that caused it. Maybe snow, you know, so, you know, icy sleet on the roads or whatever. And things, your cars just pile up. The goal is destroy as many lives as possible. That's what the devil is after. So all these things happen. Well, those are many causes of, you know, adversity. And Paul is a master at describing some of these things, you know, the way he brought it out in 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, you know, yet we are not perplexed. So there are troubles can come, you know. Perplexity can come. Despair can come. Persecutions can come. Sometimes you feel let down. You feel all alone. You know, sometimes you're cast down. All these things. Paul has a way of trying to deal with it, psyching himself up, say, look, I'm not going to stay down for the count. You knock me down, but I'm not going to be, you know, consider myself finished. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do these things and so forth. You know, but these things can come. Now, how do we prevent adversity? Well, I've already alluded to some ways of preventing adversity. You know, wisdom can prevent adversity that could have been caused by not being prudent. You know, when you don't foresee the evil that, look, there's a problem in that area. You can get into trouble. You hide yourself. You go a different direction. you know, someone who is naive and not paying attention, they'll just go on and get into trouble, you know, and evil will happen, could happen that way. But here's one of the best ways to prevent adversity. Psalm 91 will give it to you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, even he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, the shadow of the Almighty is like, you know, he's looming over you, he's watching you, he's guiding you, he's protecting you. Benefits that come from dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty because you are in his secret place, well, you can then say of the Lord that he's your rock, he's your hiding place, your shield, your buckler, your fortress, your high tower, and so forth. And under his wings you trust. All those things that are in Psalm 91. You know, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come near you. Why? Because you are dwelling in the secret place of the Lord. Also because you have made the Lord, even the Most High, your habitation. It's like you are living in a fortress. You know, you are living inside a fortress. Well, somebody is going to try to blast down the barricade and so forth of that fortress. And I'm going to be able to do it because it's fortified. That's why it's called a fortress. Well, that's what happens to someone who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You know, getting up early in the morning and not leaving things to chance. Every single day that you get out in the morning and you go out there, the devil is waiting to strike. Every day. If he can't strike at you, strike at your spouse. If you can't get that one, try your children. If you can't get that one, try your grandchildren. That's what he does. He's always out there, you know, trying to cause some havoc, you know. So we have to be wise, you know. We got to be wise and prudent. Get up in the morning and pray over the day. You know, most of the accidents, well, that's why it's called an accident, because we didn't know it was going to happen, you know, and we weren't planning for it. That's why it's called an accident. But for the Lord, the eye of the eagle, he has seen it all. So what we need to do is pray against those things. Jesus, in fact, he taught his disciples to do that. He said, pray that the Lord should deliver you from evil. Sometimes if we spend more time actually praying like that, we might be able to avoid some things. You know, so spending time in prayer, getting up in the morning, commanding the womb of the morning to bring you only good things, the, you know, binding all the negative things that the devil may have planned, realizing that the eye of the eagle has seen it. Yeah, that's right. The eye of the eagle has seen it. Because look, when you're trying to set a snare in the sight of a bird, scripture says you can't do it. The bird will see it and it will be clean escape. Well, the Lord is like he's got like those eagle eyes. He can see everything. Every plan that the devil has put there. And so for all those lying minds that the devil is hiding for you to step on and blow up in your face, blow up your life, the Lord has seen it all. The eye of the Lord has seen it. So by putting ourselves unreservedly into his care and under his protection, we can avoid many things. But you got to do it daily. You can't do it one day for the week or one day for the month or one day for the year, because the devil is walking daily, you know. And so we must also be putting on the full armor of God every single day. Praise the Lord. There's always impending danger. And the Lord, sometimes he can actually reveal it, you know, he can reveal it. Well, let's take a look at Job chapter. He may or may not reveal it. Even if he doesn't reveal it, he can protect you through it. But sometimes he will even reveal it. Let's look at, you know, Job chapter 33. I want to read just a few verses here and see what, you know, how the Lord may put things in us and show us, you know, some things and help us to escape some things that may be planned or the devil is planning for the day ahead. The devil is always up to no good, always planning something, you know. And Job 33 verse 14 says, you know, for God speaketh once, yet twice. You know, say yea twice, yet man perceived it not. You know, in a dream, in a vision of the night, while deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumberings upon the bed. Then the Lord openeth the ears of man and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, the purpose that may get him into trouble, and hide pride from man, keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing. You know, all these things, evils that are planned, the Lord may seal some instruction in your heart or your mind, when your spirit, when you are even sleeping. And, you know, there's many ways that the Lord can do that. He can also speak to you point blank and say, don't do that. You know, you're trying to turn this way, say, go this other way, you know. And the Lord has many ways, you know, that he can save us from things like that. But we have to be sensitive to the Spirit. The Lord can use dreams and visions to save our lives. He'll show you things that are coming. In fact, the Lord did that to save the life of the little child Jesus in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. You know, we see that Herod was trying to kill all the babies so he could get the one that was supposed to be, you know, king over Jews as well. You know, that's great treason. There can be no king other than Caesar. You know, so he planned to kill them all. And the Lord came by dream to Joseph and said, take the baby and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again. Because there are those that will seek the young lives, the young child's life, to destroy him. You know, so God saved the life of little Jesus by coming to Joseph in a dream. That's right. So don't despise dreams and visions. God can use dreams. He can tell you things in a dream that can even save your life. That's what Job 33 is saying. Keep your soul from destruction. And so those are some ways that we can avoid adversity by trusting the Lord for instruction, you know, and so forth. But the point is, though, you must be persuaded that God is able to protect and to deliver you, and that he will. Hallelujah. When you call upon him daily, he will do it too. Praise God. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. You know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all my iniquities and healeth all my diseases. Well, it goes beyond that. It didn't just stop there, but it goes to even redeeming your life from destruction. Now, destruction comes by way of adversity or many other things that we're talking about here. But he says, the Lord redeem my life from destruction. You crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies. You satisfy my mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles and so forth. But the part that I want to emphasize is redeem your life from destruction. You know, or adversities that can become tragic. You know, sometimes there are some adversities that are just minor, just some hardships and so forth. People face hardships every day. Students may face hardship on their studies. Sometimes your mind is just blocked. You can't seem to get ahead in that class that you're taking. You know, it could be just, you know, an adversity. You know, those are, you know, not serious adversities where there is no loss of life, but there can be serious tragedies. Two, you know, how do we deal with all of these things? You know, what we are saying here in these lessons is, look, you know, the Lord can deliver, can protect. You got to be persuaded that he can do that. You know, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, so that's another way to prevent adversities. Put on the whole armor of God, you know, so that you may be able to stand and withstand the evil in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about, and so on and so forth. And he began to talk about the armor that you can use to ward off all the attacks of the devil. And I love this one. Above all, taking the shield of faith. That's right. You know, the shield is like this thing that's around you. They used to have those shields in those days. And Paul in prison, he was looking at those Roman soldiers and so forth. Sometimes those shields were like 6 or 4 or 5 inches thick, metal. They put that in front of them, and they're going, and the enemies that are shooting arrows can't get to them. You know, take on the shield of faith, by which you can quench all the fiery darts. You hide behind that big shield, the arrows bounce off or get crushed as they hit that big metal shield. Can't do anything, can't penetrate. Take on the full armor of God. You know, you take on full armor of God. Prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. That's part of the, you know, weapons of our warfare. You know, we got to know how to do those things. We can't just, you know, go along, fold our arms and hope that everything will turn out right. No, it's how you are in a dogfight, you know, and you got to engage. And, you know, if you know how to properly engage, you come away with fewer scars. There is nobody, repeat, there is nobody that's going to get through this earth without some scars. Can't do it. Even Jesus himself, he has some scars. And he left those scars to prove it, that he was the one that was crucified on the cross. We're going to have those scars. Paul said, look, I bear in my body scars, marks of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and so forth. You're going to have those scars. I guarantee you, when David went up against the lion and went up against the bear, came up with some few scars. Where'd you get those scars? They would have asked me, saying, well, you should see the other guy. That's right. You know, he came up with a few scars, but he got the victory nonetheless. Look, you're going to get the victory. That's the important thing. But, you know, when you are going through, you may end up with a few scars. You know, that's why it's called adversity. And these things will be there. But we've got to know how to protect ourselves. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, these young men were persuaded that God was not only able to deliver them, but that he was going to do it. That's the difference between, you know, when we're talking about the faith specs and talking about, being persuaded and embracing it. Well, you persuade, everybody is persuaded that God is able to do these things, but do you actually know or believe that he's going to do it? I mean, then we are persuaded rather that he can do these things. We know that God can heal the sick. We know God can save anybody. God can even raise the dead. We know all these things. We've read in the Bible. It's been told us. We've heard it and so forth. We know it. But do you know? And do you believe when it comes to your case that God is actually going to do it? We know he can do it, but is he going to do it? So that's the difference between being persuaded and embracing it. Persuade means, yeah, I know God can do it. Everybody knows that. But embrace means, look, I know he is going to do it for me. And this boy said, look, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. So they were persuaded. And then they embraced it for the present. And he will deliver us. And so these are the things that we must, this is the posture that we must maintain, you know, to deliver ourselves from adversity. We got to believe that God is able to keep us. You got to believe that, you know, Bible says whatsoever we, you know, committed into his hands, he's able to keep. You got to believe that Jesus prayed for us. You know, in John chapter 17, he said, Father, take them not from the world, but keep them from the evil. Now, Jesus already prayed that prayer. So I've got to latch on to it to believe that God is able to keep me from evil. God, Jesus also, you know, instructed us to pray that in our daily prayer. Keep us from evil and lead us away from temptation. And he taught them to pray like that, you know. So by us doing all these things, combination of these things, we can deliver ourselves sometimes, many times, escape from adversity, and especially using wisdom. I encourage everybody to seek out our wisdom series and because, you know, the lack thereof is the cause of many cracks and many problems. If you use those pillars of wisdom properly, you can save yourself from a lot of trouble. So we've covered adversity. What is it? How does it come? You know, and, you know, sometimes, you know, there's even evil that the enemy tries to put upon people. You know, we talk about Numbers 23 and 23, that there is no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. But I guarantee you, there is enchantment and there is divination. It's just that if you know that, look, God has given you power against these things, then you've got to stand. Look, that devil, Jesus called him the prince of this world. Jesus acknowledged that the devil has power. Jesus never just said, oh, the devil is nobody. No, he said, he called him the prince of this world. He knows the devil has power, but he has given us power over that. Now, if you don't know how to get the power that Jesus gives us, Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, say, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. So Jesus himself is acknowledging that the devil has power, you know, but you can have power beyond the devil's power. Now, for those people, unfortunately, that don't know how to harness the power that is above the devil's power, they will be subject to these things. You say, oh, you know, there's no enchantment, there's no divination. There will be enchantment and divination, and it's out there. You know, Paul said, look, we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil, but I guarantee you, that was Paul's testimony. A lot of people, unfortunately, are ignorant of the devices of the devil. You can't just say, you know, just because, you know, the Lord, you know, I mean, just because, Paul, just because he says it, you can't just quote it like that. You know, many people are ignorant. And, you know, if you are an ignoramus, the devil will take advantage of you. According to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. The devil will take advantage of that. You know, so talking about enchantments and divinations, if you don't think that there's enchantments and divination, you don't know anything. There are enchantments and divinations. And he walks against those who are not protected. I can guarantee you, growing up from in Africa and Nigeria and some of these things, voodoo and all these things, it's all over the place. People practice these things and the power of the devil is real. The only difference is, you know, we got a higher power. So those who don't have a higher power, they can be subject to these things. But if you know whom you have believed and you know the promises of God for you, you should never worry about those things. Because the Lord said, I'm the one that frustrates the tokens of liars. Well, so that means there are tokens of liars. You know, when in Job chapter 5 verse 12, it says, look, the Lord will disappoint their devices. That means there are devices. You know, they can make these, and they do make these devices, you know. I don't want to stand here and, you know, glorify these devices, but there are many devices that they make for enchantments, for witchcraft, and so on and so forth. And they try to do it against you, but it will not prosper. That's the thing. If you know where you stand and if you know who you are, but if you don't, you'll be like the seven sons of Sceva. I go out there. They don't really know for themselves. They're just trying. They've heard Paul do it. They've heard some things, you know, you know, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of there. And the devil said, I know Jesus. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye? You know, so you can, if you don't know who you are and don't really know where you stand, you know, the devil will take advantage and he will pummel you down. So let's not just be deceived and say, oh, you know, it's not just in word. You got to really, and the devil knows who's who. The devil can see the shield around you. The devil can see the aura around you, you know, can see the glory of God, can see that you are protected. Demons can see it, you know, but to be there, you got to be in the secret place of prayer, praising the Lord, repeating his word, and using wisdom. You know, you got to do those things, you know, and so forth, and you will be protected. But if we don't, we will not be protected. Then there is enduring adversity. You know, we've talked about what the adversity is, how, what is the cause by which it comes. And then there is, we've talked about, you know, how, I mean, we can prevent it, you know, but what if it actually happens? You know, how do you endure? Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, says, thou therefore endure hardness or adversity as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You got to endure adversity. You know, you can't just think that, you know, everything's going to be good. And then what if anything's not good? There are some people, when they come up against difficulties, they get discouraged. It may be on your job. You know how it is. You're praying for God to give you a better job, and then he does. And then all hell breaks loose on that job. You know, I mean, every time you get this blessing, it's a package that comes sometimes with challenges. It's a package that you can't separate one from the other. We've talked about that before. You know, you get a blessing and you get some hardship that comes with it. But you have to use the word of God to fight back on those things. You have to go back to something like Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22 and say, Lord, this is what you said. You said, when you bless me, it's going to make me rich. And, you know, it's not going to add sorrow. Wherefore then cometh this sorrow with it? You know, that's what Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22 says. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he added no sorrow to it. You know, that doesn't mean there will be no sorrow. The Lord is one that's not on to add. God will not add sorrow, but the devil, he will put sorrow in it. No, no. When you read this verse, don't think of it as if, oh, when the Lord blesses you, there will be no sorrow. That's not what it says. The sorrow that may come will not come from the Lord, because the Lord is not two-faced like that. You know, there's no shadow, no variableness, no shadow of turning. He gives it to you pure. But the devil can attack it. The blessing that God gave you on that job, you got the promotion, you got the new job, but now you have no peace on that job. All hell breaks loose. Everybody's against you on that job. Well, that's sorrow. That didn't come from the Lord. You know, so you got to go to this scripture and say, well, Lord, it's what you said. And I got to fight this thing. And Lord, this word that you've spoken by your mouth needs to be performed in my life, that this job will be a blessing and no sorrow will be added to it. Well, the devil is the one that bringing the sorrow. So you fight back with the word of God. Now, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, Paul said, look, quit ye like men. You know, that means be strong. It actually said be strong in the Lord. Quit ye like men. Quit doesn't mean give up. It just means actually the opposite. Don't be like a man that be, you know, but be like a spiritual man. Don't be like a carnal and a weak man that the devil will play ping pong with, bounce you all over the place and so forth. Why? You know, be strong in the Lord and so forth. And don't let the devil play ping pong with your life, you know. And even if it's there, you need to be strong. You should be able to take one on the cheek and keep on ticking. Don't, you know, you should be able to be, you know, bounce back. And that's the problem with a lot of people. But, you know, Micah said, look, if you knock me down, Micah chapter 7 verse 8, I will bounce back. I'm not going to stay down for the count. I'm going to bounce back. Praise the Lord. You know, so these are some things, you know, how we can endure adversity. We strengthen ourselves. First, you know that, well, adversity can come, but you know, you strengthen yourself in the Lord. When it does come, then what? You know, so, I mean, peace is a wonderful thing. If you think peace is absent of trouble, well, then that's a wonderful thing. But, you know, Peace is not always absence of trouble. Peace can be even in spite of trouble, even in the eye of the storm. And different places where the Bible says you should quit ye like men and fight. 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse 9 says the same thing. It means, look, you know, get the weakness out of your mind. You know, quit ye like men, fight these Israelites. And the Philistines told themselves, you know, be strong, quit ye like men and so forth. Well, Paul's using the same thing. Say, look, quit you like men, be strong. Fight the devil. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't let the devil push you around and so forth. Don't let the devil push you around. And look, if you think, never give the devil the satisfaction of thinking he got one on you. Look, if you faint, the scripture says, Proverbs 24 and verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is little. You know, but God doesn't want your strength to be little. He said, be strong in the Lord. In fact, in the book of Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the last part says, they that be strong, the people of the Lord, when they know the Lord, they that do know their God, rather, will be strong and they will do exploits. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be weak. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's all over the scriptures. Even John the Apostle would write and say, you young men, I write unto you because you are strong. You overcome the devil and so forth. God doesn't want us to be weaklings. You need to be able to endure hardness. Now, we don't pray for hardships. We don't pray for adversity. We don't pray for these kind of things. Actually, we pray and walk against it and try to hide ourselves from it. But sometimes it will happen. You know, and then when it happens, what? And sometimes if we have lived through adversity, you know, I've known people, especially some young people, who give up at the sight of the first discouragement. You're taking a class. You fail the first exam. So you give up. You quit. You know, you're trying to do something. It doesn't work right. You know, then you give up. You start a business or start something and, you know, the thing doesn't work. Then you give up. I mean, it's just like, you know, people just give up too easily. But you've got to develop what we call spiritual stamina, ruggedness. That's right. Ruggedness. You got to be rugged in the face of whatever is going on to be able to endure it. So don't faint in the day of adversity. That will show that your strength is little. And God doesn't want our strength to be little. So you read that in Proverbs 24 and verse 10. What about Jeremiah 12 and 5? One of my favorite scriptures. If you faint, you know, I mean, if you run against footmen and you are weary, how in the world are you going to contend against horses? So this is the process of developing spiritual stamina. Win every battle. Win the little things. You know, you got to win the little things. And then you'll be strengthened for the bigger things. But if you lose the little thing, how are you going to do against the bigger thing? And you're trying to do a foot race against people that are on the ground, just like you, and they dust you. That's what we used to say. I was doing track and field. You dust them. You know, eat the dust that's coming from your heels. You know, but how are you going to contend against horses? You know? So, you got to win the little thing. You know, the little things that the devil brings day by day, you know, little discouragements and so forth. You got to rise above those obstacles. And then you'll be strengthened for the bigger things. The smaller tests and trials that we face every day, they prepare us for even bigger adversities, which nobody is praying for, nobody's looking forward to. But, you know, if it happens, you got to stand fast in the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. This is another way to endure adversity. You know that the love of God for you is stronger than whatever situation you are facing. And you encourage yourself in that love. Hallelujah. You know, he said, look, you know, what shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Shall all these things, difficulties, adversities, persecutions, perils, dangers, up and down, and this and that, things present, things to come. None of these things. This is how, you know, you put your heart on the Lord and you strengthen yourself in the Lord. in the book of Psalm 42, you encourage yourself in the Lord. Psalm 42, the psalmist said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? I will encourage myself in the Lord. I will yet praise him for the light of his countenance." He encouraged himself. We read that story in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. You can see that I'm rushing through this quickly. I'm trying to get through it. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, you know, he said, look, the story as Ziglag, you know, the David encouraged himself, and the people thought of stoning him because the Amalekites came and stole their wives, carried them away, and their children when they were fighting. It was really David's fight that he joined himself with the Philistines. You know, these people didn't care, but they followed him anyway. And so they wanted to stone him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, that's how you do it. I will not stay down for the count. Micah 7 and verse 8. I will not stay down for the count. You know, Habakkuk 3 verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not blossom and there be nothing going on. And it looks like this man was bankrupt. And he said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. So you got to encourage yourself back into the game, so to speak. Never let the devil kick you out of the game. You know, you encourage yourself back into the game. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. You know our favorite scripture, which we've said here many times. Look, I know that the Lord will help me through this adversity. That's right. You know, so I will not be discouraged and I will not faint. And I will, in fact, I'm going to put my game face on. I'm going to set my face like a flint. That's where putting on your game face on comes in from. And, you know I will not be ashamed. The Lord will help me through this. Look at Paul's testimony, which we read already in Corinthians 4, and, you know, verses 8 to 9. Buffeted, pummeled, thrown down, and so forth, cast down, but never destroyed and never giving up. You throw me down and getting up again. The righteous fall down 7 times. Bible says he will arise again. Don't matter, you know, what you do to him. You're not going to be able to keep him down. You know, so that's how you endure adversity. Also with the word of God, there's so much encouragement in the word of God. I will never leave you nor forsake. The devil will tell you, the Lord already left you. He's not answering your prayer. You know, you're finished. You're all alone. But that's a lie from the devil. You know, the Lord said, I will never leave you. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. You know, no matter what you are going through, when you pass through, that's right. The key word is through. You got to know that you are passing through. When you pass through the fire, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, well, I will be with you. You will not overwhelm and not overwhelm you. You know, that's the key thing. You're passing through. You're not going into. The Lord didn't say when you go into the fire or when you go into the flood. If you go into, that's a dead end. You're not coming out. I say this all the time. The psalmist, he said the same thing. You know, in Psalm 23, you know, said, look, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You can read that in Psalm 23 and verse 4. By his own admission, with his own words, he's already saying he's coming out on the other side. You know, I'm passing through. I'm not going into the valley of the shadow of death. You go into, you may not come out, but you pass through. You are passing through, you know, and I say, yeah, you're passing through. And you ask people, you say, yeah, you know, how you doing? What's going on? I say, well, I'm passing through some things right now. I say, well, by your own admission, you just admitted that you're coming out on the other side by saying I'm passing through some things right now. Well, you are passing through, ladies and gentlemen. You got to encourage yourself like that. I'm coming out on the other side. Jesus said, let's pass over to the other side. It's what he said, not let's go into the middle of the sea and perish. So whether the storm rises in the middle or not, I'm going to latch onto the word that said, let us pass over to the other side. You know, which is what they should have done, but they didn't. So you encourage yourself with these things. You encourage yourself with these things. I'm going to leave it there. The next part of this will be how to overcome adversity. Like I said, this series of overcome will be in phases and may take me several days. Today, I thought I was going to finish dealing on adversity, but I'm going to leave there. There were four parts that I wanted to deal with in adversity. Defining adversity itself, we covered that. You know, preventing adversity, we covered that. Well, okay. Why adversity comes? And that was the other part, you know. How and why does it come? Is it always because somebody did something wrong, or it could be an attack or this and that? We covered that. We also covered preventing adversity and enduring adversity, you know, and so forth. And I do have another part to cover, which is, and you know, overcoming adversity. But, you know, I haven't done that yet, and I will do that tomorrow. I want to leave it here so that we can, you know, discuss this topic. But before I go away, let me read a couple more verses that I just want to leave with us here. And I know I went through that very fast. I was looking at the time like, oh my goodness, time's creeping up on me. I want to get through this. But I realized I'm not going to get through it. So Holy Spirit has slowed down. All right. You know, James chapter 5 and verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure, and I put in parentheses, adversity. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord. And that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. But at the end, Job got double of everything he lost. You know, except for in the children, it got exactly the same number, but all the sheep and cattle and all of these things, exactly twice all the things he lost. You know, so, you know, the Lord is always gracious and he'll come through for us. And you must endure. You must endure. Let me read this last scripture and then I'll throw it up for discussion. In the book of 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 4. And look, even when the Lord has called you and sent you, it doesn't mean that, you know, everything is going to be all right and no challenges. To the contrary, that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. I think that God has set us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. We are made as a spectacle unto the earth, unto angels and men. We are fools for Christ's sake, you know, and so forth. Say, look, you are strong, but, you know, it looks like we are despised. Unto this present hour, we both hunger, thirst, and naked, buffeted, have no certain dwelling place. We labor, though. We try to walk with our own hands. But being reviled, we bless. So they are reviled. Being in the ministry, they are reviled. Being in the ministry, they are persecuted. But we suffer it, you know. Look, being defamed, you know, well, we don't use the same end. You know, words of defamation that they come. They try to defame us, but we entreat. We use pleasant words, you know, and so forth. You know, we talk about, you know, taming the tongue the other day. We are made as a field of the world. We are like the offscouring of all things unto these days. I mean, he's talking about his experiences in the ministry and all of these things. So, look, there are challenges every which way. You know, if you are in the ministry, you're going to face all these things. If God has called you to do something, you're going to face all these things. In your personal walk, you're going to face all these things. But you must take on a posture of resilience. And tomorrow, by the grace of God, we will cover overcoming adversity. You know, overcoming. You know, so, you know, once you are there, you endure it, and then how do you actually overcome it? You know, enduring is when you are passing through. You know, and then when you pass through, how do you overcome the effects of it? So we'll cover that by the grace of God tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today on adversity, overcoming adversity. And this series will, you know, throughout this series, I'm going to call it Through It All, you know, the Overcome series. This part will be overcoming adversity. I'll cover one more part on overcoming adversity tomorrow. but Allah introduced a new part by the grace of God. You know, I will introduce mountains and valleys that we must pass through. And after that, you know, how you must, you know, make it through and climb every mountain, no matter what the devil throws at you. You know, and, you know, later on we'll talk about how God makes all things work together for your good. You know, and so on and so forth. And then we'll talk about the overcomers' rewards. You know, it's going to be a lot of things in this series. So we invite you to stay with us. You know, I'll try to not get too far ahead and slow it down. The Holy Spirit says slow down and give time and room for people to discuss. So God bless everyone. Thank you for listening in. I pray that the Lord will strengthen you through this series. And then you know that what you are going through may not necessarily be, you know, a fault or because of, you know, something you did wrong. Right? You know, but also we look for those gaps, cracks that we need to clean and fix up. And it may not be any of that at all. And whatever it is, you stay right there with the Lord. Don't give the devil any advantage. Don't let him think he got one on you. And you pray, pray, and pray. You can avoid a lot of things if we are more prayerful. And the Lord will give you the strength to go through. Thank you, Father, for this lesson. Give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.